I'll tell you what. The Bible and every subject in it is connected. You pull on a part of the spider web and it's going to affect this one up here. And this one over here. And this one down here. They're all going to move. It's all connected. You know, I had a thought while, well, I had a lot of thoughts while Brother Jeff was preaching, but there are some unseasonable deaths that we think are just horrific. We rejoice when some of the older folks that are, it's a seasonal death, they're 90, 95, and they're ready to go home, and the Lord blesses them too. We rejoice on those days. But when a young child is unseasonably leaves this world, we mourn and grieve sometimes the rest of our lives from our perspective. But that verse that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What is the difference from God's perspective between an infant and an old man? What's the difference from God's perspective? Two things. Time and experience, which mean nothing to God. We think that they have been robbed. But from God's perspective, they got home pretty quick. They got home pretty quick. Amen. What a blessing. Thank the Lord, Brother Jeff, for your presence here today and the message that you brought. We have been talking about the kingdom of God, delving very heavily into it. And I want to continue on in chapter 20 of Matthew. And some of this, you're going to see a real world or just another example of things that Brother Jeff spoke about today. In verse 20. Jesus had just got finished talking about his having to go to Jerusalem and being betrayed to the chief priest, and that he'll be delivered, he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he shall rise again. Right after that, and you know that they were on their way going up to Jerusalem. And while they were walking, it seems like to me, the mother of Zebedee's children, that would be James and John, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, so they were with her, or she was with them, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Now, I want to talk about this right hand for a little while. We know what Jesus tells them. I'm going to get a little bit deeper into that. But he reprimands them for that. And he gives them some instruction about it. But the disciples are thick-headed. You know, they didn't really understand this kingdom either. That is at hand, that Jesus delivered and brought and set up. And did you know that right or during the Last Supper, and I don't blame a mama. You know, mamas always want their children to do well, don't they? They're a blessing to their mother and their father, but the mothers really especially want their children to excel and hold a high station. No mother or father, for that matter, really wants their children to be deadbeats, do they? Sometimes it turns out that way, but none of them really want that to happen. They want the best for their children, and so James and John's mother wanted them to, I believe it's James and John, Zebedee's children. So they're at the Last Supper, and Jesus had just finished talking about the hands of the betrayer are with me on the table. And they discussed among themselves which one they thought it was going to be. And the very next verse says, and there also arose a strife against them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as a younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. Still asking the question, you know, that Matthew 20 and Luke 22, I believe is where this is. You know, there's a good span of time. How many times did the Lord have to tell them the same thing? And how many times did they squabble over who was going to be the greatest among them? Boy, that's our natural nature, isn't it? That's our sin nature, isn't it? We want to rise to the top, and it doesn't matter who we step on to get there. We want the most the most honorable place. We want the most prestigious place. Naturally, don't we? And Jesus keeps on informing them of how you get that position. And that position, you know, is, you know, Jesus told her, woman, you know not what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking about one on the right hand and one on the left. Now, the right hand, we know from Scripture that the right hand is the place of honor. The right hand is the place of authority. The right hand is the place of an exalted position. Not only that, but it's the place, it's a symbol of confirmation and trust. You remember when you used to do a deal and you'd shake hands? Remember? And your handshake was your word? Because it was an honorable thing. And when you shook on something, that was honorable, and you better honor that. There's a reason why people shake hands with their right hand. It's because that's a symbol of that honor. Now, in the Scriptures, you can go back and read, I believe it's Deuteronomy, maybe in Leviticus. It's in Exodus. No, it's not. It's in Leviticus. where Moses slew the animal, and he took, I believe it was a lamb, and he took the blood of it and he put it on the right ear of Aaron, the right thumb, and the great toe of the right foot. No mention is made of him doing that to the left side, only the right side. That's a whole nother sermon to go into what the ear, the toe, and the big thumb is, or thumb and the big toe. But it has to do with what you're listening to and listening to God, and has to do with what you're doing with your hands and where your feet take you, in a nutshell. And then you go through the scriptures and you find the citations of the right hand, and it's always an exalted position. And David says, according in 48 of Psalm 48, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Right, righteousness. It's right. That's coincidental? I don't think right and righteousness is coincidental. It's not leftishness, it's righteousness. Psalm 80 and 15. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Psalm 80 and 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. No mention in there of God's left hand. No mention. If you do a search for left hand, there may be 10 or 15 citations where the word left hand is used, and it's usually talking about a positional statement that David had some men on his right side and some men on his left hand. All right, but it's not a place of honor. How many y'all ever heard the term, he's my right hand man? How many times have you ever heard anybody say, he's my left hand man? Never. Why? Because that's not a place of honor. We don't shake with the left hand, and we don't think that the left hand really is any great. I know Sister Sonia and Sister Angie are left-handed. I won't tell that. That'd take too much time. This is not a dig on left-handed people. Y'all understand that. But God is, there's something special about the right hand. And there's a reason for that. It's because the right hand is special to God. And it ought to be special to us. And it is special. We still do the symbol of honor in shaking right hand. Now, let's go back to Matthew 20. The right hand is that honorable place. And she says, let's read it again. And Jesus, she wanted to, desiring a certain thing of him in 21. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the one on thy, and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. Listen to what Jesus says. This is important. Everything Jesus said is important, but listen to this. This is shocking. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able? And he's going to ask her a question. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? He's asking the children and her. and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. They say unto him, we are able. They answered correctly. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. You know, that cup was death for a different reason. But Jesus said, you're going to drink of that cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Isn't that amazing? That we're baptized with the same baptism that he's baptized with. That's a whole nother subject, but I want to get to something else. But Jesus says, you can do those two things. Listen to this. This is the shocking part. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Do y'all understand what Jesus just did right here? Jesus says in this one verse, in verse 23, Jesus Christ, in one of the most concise places, talks about his purpose to come into the world, and he described the election of God as solidly as any other place in the book. Jesus says, and Jesus stated his purpose. It's not Jesus' purpose to make sheep. It's not Jesus' purpose to say who is or who's not going to heaven. He says, I'm not come to do all that, but I am come to sit on my right hand is the place of honor, and to decide who sits on my right hand is not mine to give, but for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, Jesus didn't come to make sheep, but he did come to save them. Jesus said, look, I'm not determining who is a sheep and who's not, but the Father sent me to do his will. And the will of the Father was that all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, let's think about this right hand and this left hand for a minute. We know in Matthew 25, let's turn over there to Matthew 25. He's talking about some other parables of the talents and different things. And then in verse 31, my Bible has him starting a new paragraph. He's talking about when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Has that happened yet? That hasn't happened yet, has it? And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Did you notice the pronoun of possession? His sheep. They're his possession. Aren't we the sheep of his pasture? The Bible says we are. He knows his sheep and he calls them by name and they follow him. Now so, because he's going to get to the right hand here. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, blessed come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then I want you to know that then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, listen to this, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? You notice how they said the same exact thing with a little bit different perspective? The righteous said, when did we do it? And when did we see you and do this? He said, if you did it to the least of my children, you done it unto me. And the wicked say, when did we see you and not do it? Meaning, they saw the Messiah. If they had seen the Messiah, they would have done it, but they wouldn't lift a finger to help anyone else. Y'all get the attitude. That's the attitude of the wicked. Like, as long as they thought it might benefit them, they would have done it. You see, but those naked and poor and imprisoned people wouldn't really benefit you much, would they? Now, then listen to what happens to the right and the left. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we've got the left hand is the wicked, right? And we've got on the right, or correct, and on the right hand, we've got the righteous, right? Righteous, the sheep. The righteous ones are on his right hand. You know, there's a separation. Jesus is in the business of separating folks. He did it all the time. And there, in John, you'll find, and there was a division among them. Some thought he was Christ, some thought he wasn't. Then later on, there was another division. Some thought he was this, and some thought he wasn't. You know, he said, He said, there's going to be a division even in families concerning me. So there's a division here. And the righteous, the right are going to go into eternal life. And I'll tell you this. That you remember when they were hanging, Jesus was hanging on the cross and those thieves were on either side of him, and one on the right hand and one on the left. And one of them said, Lord, remember, both of them railed on him at first, but one of them had a change of heart by the power of the almighty voice of God. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I just have to believe that was the one on his right hand. It don't say it was, but I just have to believe it was. Oh, mother of Zebedee. She really didn't know what she was asking, did she? She didn't understand why she didn't know what she was asking, but later on she did. Later on, she realized what a foolish thing to ask. And Jesus kept on teaching them about the attitude of the kingdom. And he says, back in 20, it's not mine to give. You know, it never was Jesus's to give who was a sheep and who wasn't. He just came to save them. You know, that's simple to me. I mean, if we just listened to what Jesus said, we'd be a whole lot better off. We'd understand our Bibles better if we just listened to what Jesus said. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. That wasn't a great response either, was it? But that showed their humanity. These disciples, these apostles were not superhuman. They were men, like Paul said, just like other men. They're of like passions with everybody else. But Jesus said it ought not to be this way in the kingdom. He says, Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever, even as, and this is the reason why, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, Jesus is our great example in all things. From baptism, which we talked about not long ago, to living a holy life, being a disciple of Christ, as holy as we can. You know, there's always something lacking in us. Always. In our walk, in our talk, in our attitude, in our how we conduct our lives. You know, what does Hebrews 1 and 3 say? Before I get there, y'all remember, let's go back to the sheep and the goats for a minute. You know how Jesus said I'm going to separate the sheep like a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, and he's going to set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. I want y'all to get a picture of the throne room of God. I want you to imagine God, the Father, on his throne. And it's a judgment throne, is it not? And who is at the right hand of God? Jesus is. Now, if Jesus does the separating, who's at his right hand? It's okay to speak out loud. Who's at Jesus' right hand? The sheep, all right? Who's that? Well, I guess goats kind of make the same noise, don't they? Who's at the left-hand side of Jesus? The goats. I want you to get this picture. So here's the throne of God. God the Father. And that right next to God the Father are the goats. Next to them is Jesus Christ. And on the right hand of Jesus Christ are the sheep. Why does that matter? Jesus is right and Jesus is left. Why does that matter?
Because at the judgment bar, when God, have y'all ever heard preachers say, when Jesus looks at you and looks at His children, He looks at them through His Son and the blood of His Son? Do y'all see that? And He stands as the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And He's standing there positionally between you and the judgment bar of God. The goats have no mediator. No one is standing between them and the judgment of God. Oh, she really didn't know what she was asking, did she? She had no idea. The impact of her question. Oh, but she found out, didn't she? She learned it better. Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and I'll wrap it up. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. What do you do when you purge something? What do you do when you purge or bleed or purge the line, break lines? What do? You get all the air out. What do you do when you purge someone's stomach? You give them Paragarc or whatever it is, I don't know what makes you throw up, and you get it out. Who helped Him purge your sins? No one. He did it by Himself. He's the mighty right arm of God, and He did it. He purged Himself by Himself. Purged our sins. He had none to purge. He purged our sins by Himself. And after that, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. My friends, I want you to understand that there is a man in heaven today, and that man is Jesus Christ the righteous, the mighty arm of God's right hand. And I'm telling you, He didn't come from the right hand of the throne. He went back to the right hand of the throne, the place of honor, the place of dignity, the place of authority, the place of power, the place of confirmation of an oath. My friends, Jesus Christ sits there today, and the only time that He's going to leave it is when He comes back to get His kingdom, and then He's going to deliver up the kingdom, and He's going to say, Father, here am I and the children which You gave me. What a blessing that is. That's when there'll be no more death. Isn't it strange that death destroyed death? You think about that. Death. It took death to destroy death. But not mine and your death. The death of Jesus Christ. I feel like I think Brother Jeff could too. I think we could preach all day long today. I don't know whether y'all could listen to it all day, but some days I feel like I could. Let's praise God today for His position of authority, His position of power and dignity and might. The doors to the church are open for reception of members. Should any have a desire to join with us here as we worship that mighty, powerful King at God's right hand. May God help us to be a blessing to someone this week.